welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review a wine from a classic Pomerol producer, Chateau Clinet, and their value-priced Ronin by Clinet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening. I am also joined by the Triple B. Like that?
Sure. Good evening.
Good evening. On tonight's show, folks, you heard on the open, we have a fascinating thing. Okay. A fascinating phenomenon. You know how we feel about tribute wines on this show, but we've never had a tribute wine quite like this, where there's a tribute to the owner of the winery, or the CEO of the winery. So he has a tribute wine to himself, essentially, tonight. Wouldn't you say that was fair?
Do you think it was just like
the ultimate in brown nosing?
Well, I don't know. You mean the marketing department's like, well, you know what we could do?
Yeah.
Let's name it after him. Oh, he's like, oh, right.
And then nobody can, when you're in that meeting where someone says, let's name it after Ronin, then no one.
Well, they don't know what it's called, but.
Well, whatever. Anyways, yes. No one can be like, no, don't name it after Ronin. No one can say that. You're kind of like, stuck.
We should name it after me. I don't know why I have this voice.
No, I bet it was some.
They're like, you're right, sir. That's great.
What a great idea.
Well, tonight's show, folks, from the esteemed chateau in Pomerol, Chateau Clinet, we have their less esteemed Mutt.
We don't know.
From Bordeaux.
We don't know that it's less esteemed.
It's less esteemed.
Oh, it's esteemed by Ronin.
It's steamed by Ronin. Steamed. Ronin steamer.
It's like a firehouse sub. It's steamed.
It is.
Not baked.
Well, this is their Ronin by Clinet. Now, for those who don't know, Chateau Clinet is from Pomerol, Left Bank, predominantly Merlot classic producer. They have Chateau Leglies, Clinet, and then the Chateau Clinet, both which are very expensive. Leglies is about $300. The Chateau Clinet is somewhere between $99 and $150, depending on the vintage that you buy. Mm. But Ronin by Clinet is only $14.99, so there's a bit of a gap. Huh.
There's a little gap.
Slight.
Although, you know, $15, $150, $300. So it just goes up in appellations of $150.
Maybe Ronin, and Ronin La Bourdais is cheap, and that's why they said, let's name this after Ronin, because he's a cheap prick. And so this thing's going to be $14.99. Ooh. Let's name it after Ronin. Hey, Ronin. It was either
like a tongue in cheek.
Yeah, it was either going to be Ronin or Gonad. They didn't know which one it is. Don't call him Gonad. That's what we call him when he's not here. Oh, yeah, Ronin. So, Ronin by Clinet. Mostly Merlot. 95% Merlot, 5% Cab Franc. 12 months traditional aging. 360,000 bottles produced. At least that's what the 2012 vintage was, because they didn't update their website since then.
That's a lot.
It is. But divide by 12 and you know.
But
what, 30,000 cases? Is that what it is? That's about right for a value price that I've never seen before. I don't know how long they've done it. I think that they've done it since probably last
week.
Probably for about 5 or 6 vintages, I think, is what they've done it. Maybe 7. So it's not something that has like 25 years in there. So it has all this, you know, pomp and circumstance. A good comp would be Clarendel by Aubryon, sort of.
Kind of, yeah.
Although I think that's a little more loosely connected than Ronin by Clinet.
You stupid American.
I know.
It's Ronin.
Fantastic. The bottle has some dandy-looking dude with a top hat on a bicycle. with a rose on the bicycle. I don't know. I think that they're kind of calling him a dandy, aren't they? I mean, well, that's Ronan. I mean,
it's got some kind of. What would you? How would you describe his headwear? Is that a?
It's a top hat. It's a high silk hat.
He kind of reminds me of the dad from Mary Poppins.
Slightly, or someone that would tie somebody to railroad tracks, or
yeah,
he is a dandy. That's for sure.
I think it's interesting though. Like that picture looks very British, wine.
I mean, it looks European.
It looks British. It doesn't look anything. It doesn't look German. It doesn't look Italian. It doesn't look French. It looks British.
I don't know. I could see the Italians doing something like that too. I've seen
with the top hat.
Well, maybe not a top hat, but he would have
that picture is very British. That looks like Mr. in ways from
in
Mary
certain
Poppins.
Ways it is British, I suppose, but mm-hmm. nevertheless, I don't
Do you think
this.
You're making fun of the British.
I think they're making fun of Ronan. But
they're
making fun of you. What are you saying? I don't think that dude's going to win many bar fights. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay, let's not just like that.
No, he's not. With tails. He has a tuxedo with tails on, riding a bicycle.
Or like the dad from Peter Pan, the Disney version. That's what it looks like.
I'm not familiar with that. But the guy from Peter Pan is a bit of a portly fellow. That one is not. That guy is very trim.
Oh, I can't tell.
Yes, he's very athletic. Athletic build, broad shouldered, muscular.
So maybe he would win a bar fight.
No.
Go ahead.
He's wearing that top hat would just be a liability. So folks, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to have the Ronan by Clean A. You can tell how much we like this. Well, if we think this one, this might be a little bit Gucci here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the Ronan, or Ronan, or Gonad, by Clean A.
Ronan!
We're going to go over to Triple B. Because
I have to tell a story about this wine before we go any further.
Oh. That's what I'm going over there for you.
You are not. You're going to have me read.
Well, if you have a story, that's even better.
So
it's better than having him read. You know, the Hooked on Phonics didn't take.
So we have had basically the same FedEx driver for most of COVID. Occasionally there's been subs, but for the most part we've had the same. Super nice guy. Really young, and for a long time he would just leave the wine. Rob gets deliveries basically every day of the week.
Okay.
But for a long time he would just leave them at the door and ring the doorbell, and I loved that. Like when in the height of COVID, he didn't like whatever. When we've had subs, they've been like, "Can you show me your ID? Can you blah 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 do all this stuff?" So as you all know, I broke my leg. I was in a wheelchair for 6 weeks. They would be like, "Can you show us some ID?" I'm like, "I don't care if you take this wine and never bring it back." And Rob kept doing that to me the whole time. But he, such a gem every time. So anyways, he told me when he delivered this wine that it was his last day of work.
Oh, no.
That he's leaving to go spend the summer in Michigan. And I think he's going to like tent camp and like just spend some time like in the great outdoors, and I don't think he'll ever come back, and I'm really sad.
He knows there's a big coronavirus surge in Michigan, right?
Well, he's going to be in the woods with
real hippie
with bears.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so there won't be any polar bears.
And we had a wine delivery after him, and it was an older gentleman that was not as friendly. He didn't ask for me to go find my driver's license or anything like that, but he just wasn't nearly as nice. And the hippie one that I love, Bo also loves, and he brings treats for Bo.
Yes, normally laced with marijuana.
Well,
that's all right.
It calms him down.
It does, whatever it takes.
Man. It's good for his hips, too.
That's true.
But this crappy, potentially very crappy wine was his last delivery.
Well, I don't think. Clinet. I would think Chateau Clinet would not make something bad. Unless they were really trying to make fun of Ronan. So far,
there's a couple things.
It's not looking good for Ronan.
There's a couple things.
What?
He named it after himself.
Well, somebody. Yes. Yes. True. Yes.
Tribute wines are on the list of beware, folks.
Yes, but you can, it's like a Steve Bodie moment. He's tributing himself. You know, like quoting yourself.
Do you think it cancels it out?
Yes.
I don't know, because there's something else.
I think it's a different level. It might make it worse.
You've always said, you know, beware. Mm-hmm. The French wine, that's single varietal. It's marketed for us Americans.
But it's 95 and 5.
It does have a touch of Cab Franc.
It does say 100% on the back, but...
It says 100% on the website.
Yes, but we're going to find out 100%. Something else, certainly.
Certainly.
You want me to read?
Yes, the Triple B now shall read.
Do we read winemaker notes or the critical acclaim?
I would like you to read both.
Okay. Winemaker notes. Branded under the Bordeaux appellation, Ronan by... Are you saying Clinet?
Clinet.
Is a vision of a new Bordeaux genre. What?
Yes, genre.
No, the next sentence. This 100% Merlot wine is crafted by the team from Clinet and our new state-of-the-art winery located in the heart of Pomerol.
Mm-hmm.
Ronan by Clinet is bright ruby in color, delicately spiced and fruit-forward with aromas of cherry, raspberry, and blackcurrant. It is a soft and fresh wine with a balanced texture and a persistent, flavorsome finish.
Flavorsome, like Flavor Town.
That's what I just thought too.
Flavor Town.
And then.
Okay.
Oh.
Critical acclaim.
Oh, yes.
Jeb Dunnick.
Oh.
Gave it a 91.
So handsome.
The Merlot dominated 2016 by Clinet.
He has nice hair.
There's 5% Cab Franc.
Did I say that out loud?
Is a charming, already delicious effort that gives up elegant notes of chocolate-laced plums.
Yes.
That's such a weird thing.
Well.
Dark fruit, notes of leafy herbs and truffle, medium to full body, and a layered, charming mouthfeel. It's a terrific Bordeaux to drink over the coming 7 or 8 years or so.
Or so. Or so.
I'd love that they...
Don't you say anything bad about Jim.
Well, you know, and on the website, it just keeps flashing these quotes from 2014, one of which is top 100 value, and it just says Japan 2014.
the Japanese said that.
I mean...
In Japan.
Is the...
There was only 14 of them to begin with, so I was like, well, top 100.
It's like they care so much about this wine, it hasn't been updated since 2014.
Well, a little bit about the CEO, Ronan Labordeur, or Labourde.
Labour.
So mean, isn't it?
Whichever you want. Once known as the Marathon Man, Ronan is used to leading from the front.
What?
I could go someplace with that, but talented and determined in everything he does.
Particularly when he's leading from the front.
He began to manage Clinet Estate in 2004, which has been in his family since 1999, which isn't that... Well, anyway, he, along with the rest of the Clinet family, in parentheses, has been engaged in substantial transformations, replanting, developing environmentally friendly practices, rebuilding the winemaking facilities, and reorganizing Clinet's distribution. Reorganizing Clinet's distribution? Is that exciting?
Oh, I don't know. Not exciting.
I don't know why they did that.
I'm very... So how many wines make up Bordeaux?
What wine? You mean grapes?
I think it's...
Grapes, yes. 5?
Let's see. We have Bordeaux. We have Merlot. We have Cab Franc. We have Malbec. We have...
Cab.
Did I say Cab?
No.
Well, you start off, you said Bordeaux.
Oh, okay. Cab. Petit Verdot.
I mean, those are the primary five, but you're going to have other varietals and smaller amounts.
That's mostly what it is.
I think they only allow certain ones.
Yeah,
right?
It's Cab Merlot, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. Those are your grapes. Look it up. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. No, those are the main five.
But what I was going to say is this is made out of my least two favorite.
Fair enough. Now, you also have Left Bank and Right Bank. Left Bank, it's Left Bank. That is, or is it Right Bank? This is Right Bank. I'm sorry. Right Bank is predominantly Merlot driven. Left Bank is predominantly Cab. I always get this mixed up, but it's Cab driven. So Left Bank, you have Pomerol here. This, though, is, I don't think there's very much Pomerol in it. That Pomerol's too expensive. It's too elite. What it has mostly is Côte de Castillon, Bourg, and Lussac Saint-Emilion, and some other satellite areas. So a little more inland. The Saint-Emilion, the Lussac Saint-Emilion, is a smaller satellite Bordeaux AOC. So there's Saint-Emilion, which is great, and then there's Lussac Saint-Emilion. Scott and I just did a Lussac. And they're nice.
But they're
a little more fruit forward. They're not substantial enough. They're not as ageable. They're still fun wines. And then there's also parts of Bordeaux that are just Bordeaux Superieur, or just open areas, essentially, just non-classified. Still can be nice drinking grapes, but there's also places that make, Saint Sulpice and what's our favorite thing that is terrible? What the hell? It starts with an M. It's terrible. Let's just say there's some crap stuff too.
Yeah.
So you've got to know a little bit back and forth. But when you're getting something that's a little more unique that's associated with a grand chateau, you should expect something. Something. I mean, Clarendel was nice. We enjoyed Clarendel.
Yeah.
I didn't buy again, but I don't dislike it. And I would, if the moment struck me to do something weird, I would buy it.
Yep.
So it's a little, it's $20. So this is $14.99. So this has a little more promise. It's cheaper.
So, you know, by the way, winefolly.com and the two Wine Folly books are great. So I popped on the Wine Folly book, internet webpage, the internet. Yes. Carmenere.
Carmenere.
But also, don't forget the whites. Blanc, Sauvignon, Muscadet.
I wasn't talking about whites,
oddly, it's like my iPad's listening to us.
Uh-huh.
The little ad off to the side from
a
sales site just called Inn says, never underestimate an old man with a bicycle.
What?
The iPad was listening to our conversation about the label.
Oh, that's nice.
And oddly, other than the top hat, it is reminiscent of the
label. I'm sure they pulled it off something. It's plagiarism. It's just, they just stole it. They just stole it. But nevertheless, in the glass, folks, moving on to the wine.
So have we decided, is it 95.5 or is it 100% Merlot?
I'm going to go with what Jeb says. they're going to say 100%, but I don't think so. I think it probably has a little splash of. If Jeb said it had it in there, I'll buy what Jeb said. He worked for fucking NASA.
And he also has nice hair.
And he also worked for fucking NASA. And his name isn't Gonad. Or Ronan, sorry.
Ronan.
Here we go. In the glass, though, it looks like Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carmenere, huh? I think I've asked you that 10,000 times. Trace amounts. That doesn't surprise me, though. I've never really thought of that. But amounts. And you're going to not in your normal classic blends, though. So.
No. And it's like, when you look at the volume of grapes grown, it's Malbec's very slight amount.
Very slight. Yeah. Petit Verdot is very slight.
Very slight.
Yeah.
It's the big three.
Mm-hmm. The nose. I had
a
pencil
under it. It has a sweetness running through it, like a ribbon of sweetness running through it.
Did you drink it or did you smell it?
It was
smell it.
The M you were referring to that was so bad was the Chateau Franc Magnus.
No, the Magnus is okay. No, okay, fair enough. Some vintages have been. It's $12.99. Yeah, I drink Krios. Go Chilean. But. No, it's...
Yeah, this is not a promising nose. This is not a Merlot nose.
Do you smell the sweet not. Ribbon through it?
It's like a raspberry, black currant-y kind of thing.
There's a little bit of like a funkiness to it. And then it has the sweetness kind of cutting through it.
I'm not picking up a lot, honestly. Your senses, though, are dialed up to 14. We know this.
Oh, yeah. Rob had cut a lemon earlier in the night and then cut a bunch of cheese. And all I could taste was the lemon on That's the true. Cheese.
And I touched the cheese.
Yeah. He was like, what do you think of this cheese? And I was like, it's lemon cheese. Yeah. I can't.
I think it's a fairly...
It's very tart.
Yeah. And this is the same price the other night where we had Lussac Saint-Emilion. $14.99.
Yeah, I could maybe be convinced there's some kind of herb in there.
One thing I enjoy about Bordeaux's, well, I enjoy everything about Bordeaux's, but one thing I really do is the nose. And if it doesn't have the nose... I'm like, sad face, a little bit. And this doesn't have the nose.
This is sad
maybe
face.
Maybe like a, I don't know, maybe thyme. I'm so bad with differentiating between them, but that's about all I got.
Could smell, I could smell Beau more than I could smell
there's thyme. Something there, but it's like that sweet fruit thing, and then...
Yeah. It's nondescript. It really is.
Yeah.
You have to be pregnant to pick it out.
You wouldn't be able to gather the...
No.
Your Bordeaux has a very distinct nose, and... You should be able to tell you're drinking a Bordeaux by the nose, and you can't.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, it's red something.
Yeah, I would maybe guess a red blend.
Of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
With no American oak or anything like that.
What's the a Chianti?
I mean, maybe.
You know,
maybe it had a little too much, no much blackberry for that, but yeah, I'm going to go ahead.
So brave.
It's very dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's nicely astringent. Very tannic. I like that. What I like about this wine is the overall mouthfeel and structure. It's grippy, but it's very, very clean and crisp.
Did you say charming?
I can give you charming.
It's
kind like of charming, Jeff says. Though.
Well, it's very, very, very. The tannins in the mid start off almost in the mid palate, but you're getting berry flavors and a little bit of herbaceousness all the way through it. Then the finish reveals a little bit of, I wouldn't call it heat, but maybe a slight bit of spice and cayenne kind of there on the finish that radiates a little bit.
Could see that.
It's a lighter weight Bordeaux,
yeah,
but it's still medium bodied, not medium to full.
It is also like a pretty classic European wine, especially as you go through like your front mid and finish. Like the front has some fruit,
baker's chocolate.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, you're picking up chocolate. I'm not getting chocolate.
Oh, mocha. More mocha than chocolate, but it's right there on the mid palate, right in the front. It's very nice.
Are you getting a little vegetal? I'm getting a little vegetal.
I'm not going to say vegetal. It's a little bit, maybe just a, I mean, it's just a, has a little bit of leanness to it. I like that leanness.
Yeah, it is lean.
Because it never really, doesn't get too flabby. I like the crispness of the wine. I really do. It reminds me of a little bit more of an old school kind of feel to it. No, I don't really think it's vegetal. I mean, it might just have just the teensiest little bit of greenness to it, but not in a bad way. I like that because it follows through with the leanness. I enjoy this.
And the leanness is also, to me, a very classic European.
Well, the fact that it's not heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it has body, but it stays, it's lithy a little bit.
It's true to a French Merlot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dark, the baker's body. Chocolate is very nice.
I can't get it.
I'm not getting it.
I do. Yeah. Sorry. I'm elite, though. I also burnt my mouth last night, but that's okay. And that's why I get it. It's not like we've had bigger examples of it, mind you. But yeah, right in that mid palate, it carries through into the tannin. That's where I'm getting it. But not all Merlots do that. Some Merlots are very fruit forward and don't show chocolate or of any kind. They just don't. So it just depends on, well, the terroir. It depends on a lot of things.
Guess who's back?
Who's back?
Jeff's back.
Jeff's back.
Jeff's back.
I don't think Jeff ever leaves.
No, Jeff was gone for a while.
Who was there in place?
Jeff's the wine expert. The chat wasn't working at wine.com.
Jeff is on strike. Wow. He's being sexually harassed by Wilfred Wong.
Hey, Jeff, I can help you find a great wine. It's in my pants. Ha, ha, ha. Jeff.
Okay. See, I was just going to go for
what?
Jeff had left to go to Amazon, but then the Univo went down, so he went back to wine.com.
No. Jeff, on the chat, I said, Jeff, what are you wearing? He said, what? They transferred me to somebody else. So I asked them. Then I had to be in the HR department all day long. And they talked to me about what I should and shouldn't say. I said, that was just my commentary. But I'd like to have some tasting notes.
And a food pairing.
No, oh, yes. I would pair you with mango chutney. And candle wax. Don't ask why.
Of course, Wilfred Wong, he couldn't come up with a more original line than that. Even when he's sexually harassing
someone. I like mango chutney. I like it. It's nice. Yes. I would pair you with a blindfold and a...
Okay.
Smear it all over the blindfold. And a whole tub of peanut butter.
I'm going to move my phone over to Buzz the microphone if you don't quit.
Go ahead. Back to the wine. Do you think you could hold on to this for 7 or 8 years?
Thank you for leading into my laughter. No. No, or so. Or so might mean 18 months. It's not ageable, but it's
almost as funny as James Suckling's drink or hold.
I mean, why, once again, I mean, it's not going to go bad in 2 or 3 years, but it's like, why are you aging Ronin?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a great wine cellar. I have it stocked with Ronin. You're like, what? Ronin. I like bicycles.
But what would this become? You know, I mean, it's...
Nothing. It would become dust. You know, dust in the bottle?
Dust in the bottle.
You've mixed two different songs.
All we are is dust in the bottle. We are is dust in the wind.
Isn't dust in the bottle a country song?
Oh, I was actually thinking time in a bottle. So I was mixing three songs.
Oh.
Yes, just put them all
Jim
together.
Jim Croce.
Time in a bottle.
Yes.
The first thing that I'd like to do.
Yeah, I think it's a country song.
Is mute your mic and throw an empty bottle at you so you would not sing anymore.
But there never seems to be enough time.
I've got a half bottle right back there. This is...
Oh, yeah, David Lee Murphy. Dust on the bottle.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, this is dust in the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dust in the bottle.
Yeah. And a whole tub of peanut butter.
Stop.
Oh.
Are we missing anything
else?
There's
no dust on your peanut butter, is there?
No, there isn't. Chunky, by the way.
I knew it was that kind of party.
It is.
Do you think in that Beastie Boys reference, it's they're hot mashed potatoes, just warm, they have gravy on them?
Bo, quit.
Just butter? How do you think those mashed potatoes are prepared? No?
Are you trying to emulate? Are you trying to recreate it?
Oh, I'm just curious. Okay. I just began wondering about this.
I think it's just powdered, and it's not even made yet. Go ahead. What were your thoughts, Triple B?
That's interesting.
Please talk about anything.
I was just going to say that this is very much a Merlot wine. Mm. And I can score this wine fine, but I'm also like, I would be fine not drinking Merlot again.
But wouldn't you rather drink this Merlot than Californians' ideas of Merlot?
Sure. I just don't like Merlot.
Well, Merlot is one. I don't know. I like Merlot. I guess I've learned that I like, you know, stuff from Saint Emilion. I still buy stuff from, you know, Left Bank, but I like it. Now
that would be an interesting. Have we done left versus right?
Would be.
But oh, he's trying to get the Hulk. He's trying to climb the wall to get the Hulk.
I know. That's just, well, it gives him.
Get it.
Gives him something to do.
Yeah, he got it.
I know.
This is his arch nemesis. Is this Hulk doll that's like 3 feet tall?
But not everybody likes. I mean, there was even a line in a movie. I'm not going to drink that fucking Merlot. I mean, there's a reason why. I mean,
was that from
Sideways?
Yeah. What's his face says that the guy?
Yeah, yeah. Paul Giamatti's character.
Yeah, yeah.
Question is, I mean, why don't you like Merlot? Ask yourself why that is.
I know why it is.
Or why is it?
I feel like sometimes with Merlot, it's kind of like it's almost got sometimes like some funkiness to it, but it doesn't have the funkiness of a Pinot. And it like kind of has some sweetness to it, but it's not really. It kind of this, kind of that. And to me, it's just kind of like a blah wine.
What I appreciate about the Merlot, when you have that proper Merlot, is that physical response, that astringency, where you get that washing, that where the astringency washes over the roof of your mouth. And that's just a physical response that it's just classic. And I will always love that. Hmm. It's like the mouthfeel, except it's the mouthfeel of astringency.
Hmm. But, you know, for the difference, though, between Cab and Merlot, a big one is that Cabs tend to be, or tend to have, but not necessarily, in my opinion, from Bordeaux. But, well, some do, but like Saint-Estephie and Saint-Julien are a little more this way. But that nice, ripe, inviting fruit initially. And then it goes into everything else. Where Merlot is a little bit more back palate, and it's a little bit more, it comes in like this. It comes in as it starts here, low, then it raises up mid. It's more of a mid palate enjoyment wine, where Cab starts up top and just kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Particularly American Cabs.
Sure. So that's one thing. Now, there are some California Merlots that kind of, you know, might start have a little bit of different diagram, and I don't know why I'm doing this because you can't see it as a podcast, but you know, just think of your average graph where you're starting off a low and it goes up, where the Merlot starts low and the Cab starts higher, and that's just the fruit factor, and it crescendos and it just comes into your palate differently than both. And yeah. I mean,
Merlot to me is just like basic. I don't know. It just is not my favorite, but every time I drink it, I'm like, this to me is just like a table wine.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
just not my fave.
It's not that complex.
One particularly is not that complex.
Yeah.
It's well done.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I think actually the French would probably say this is a table wine. Well, no, they have a lower level, but yeah. And also, we've got to assume, we always assume that everybody tastes things the same. Mm-hmm. Bodies aren't the same. Mouths aren't the same.
No, for sure.
Yeah, you know, so. And Becky does a lot of snuff, so there's that too. So
it's snuff dip.
Yes. It's the classier version.
Oh, I thought you had some type of, you were producing films that I didn't know about, an alter ego. Caught me off guard there. No, the reason
that
I asked why you didn't care for Merlot, I didn't realize it before, and you know, it's just what. It's obviously this is not something you just realize tonight, yeah. But
yeah,
there's some that I just, you know, are just classic, and I look for, you know, the Fry Carano, that Merlot. It's so nice. It's different.
Becky, you do like the you have.
I like Ferrari Carano fine.
It's different.
I'm
though.
Not as high on it as you are.
Fair enough.
But you are high on Ferrari Carano.
Well, you love the Cabernet though.
But the Fry Carano Merlot has just this drinkability that's amazing.
Well, I recently bought the Bordeaux blend from Fry Carano.
Huh.
Oh.
Well, you bought it. I haven't drank it.
Well, I mean, I know, but you will drink eventually. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you will drink it, assuming it's still there.
Would that be an assumption?
No, it's still there.
Is it?
Yeah, the Pride probably won't be there. Damn it. Little half bottles are so convenient.
Pride bottles of what?
Pride Merlot.
Huh.
You don't like Merlot.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You did like Pride Merlot. You like
Cap. Fine. Pride Merlot was fine. You like? I don't love it like you do.
I don't love it like you think I love it.
You're on like the fourth bottle.
No, I've only drank two bottles. Mm. It's a half bottle. We bought, folks, we don't know. Wine.com, apparently somebody, Jeff, effed up. And then they put half bottles of Pride Merlot, the 17 vintage, on sale for $18.99. It's regularly $31. Scott and I took the advantage. We each bought six. And so it's just so, like, I don't want to open a bottle of wine tonight. Or I just drank three bottles in the last 2 days. Oh, half bottle is a wonderful, it's a way to just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, in the second episode, Scott and I are going to try.
It's a way to limit your alcohol.
It is. You could put the cork back in the bottle as you get halfway through. But,
or you could.
But it's just a vacuum vin, like I have. But it just, that pops out. You know, it's such a, you know, you're like, ooh. And so.
I didn't want to drink it. I had to.
It'd be wrong not to. It's the Christian thing to do. So, folks.
We're Christian, poor.
That's true. We're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to have a death match of sorts. If those that know the game Drink, Dump, Collect that we did, which is based off the game F, Marry, Kill, tonight it's going to be wine reviewers. So we're going to use the old F, Marry, Kill, but we're not going to actually have sex with any of them or marry them. But
much to your dismay.
Well... There is Jeb Dunnick in there. And
the penal phone.
No. A real wine reviewer. I'm sorry.
It's a real wine reviewer.
I went through and I thought, who is actual real? So Tim Atkins did not make the list. The penal file did not make the list.
What?
No, they didn't make the list. So I picked nine. And they're each in groups of three.
How could you leave the penal file out of your top nine?
Because he's not. No. Okay. He's tried to sell his website. That's why.
Unsuccessfully.
I'm not reactive with your beam.
I think he just wanted some attention.
No. So Wilford Wong.
I wouldn't raise money for his son's.
Okay.
Treatment.
This is round one?
No, this is, I'm just going to.
Oh, all of them. Okay.
Yes.
Bo, get away.
Jeb Dunnick, James Suckling, of course. Wine Spectator, Robert Parker, Venice Decanter, The Connoisseur's Guide, and Wine Enthusiast.
Okay. That's nine?
That's nine. Yes, math. Now, I've grouped them. The first grouping, folks. F, Mary Kill, essentially.
Okay.
And the F's move on.
Oh, the one we like the least?
No, the most. Who F is fuck. Fuck, Mary Kill.
Mary is supposed to be the... What?
Yeah, we're talking about...
Not who, in this game.
No. Who do you really get you going?
Okay.
So the first grouping is Wilford Wong, Wine Enthusiast Kill, and Robert Parker.
Oh. You know, we love Robert Parker. We do, but...
You don't want to fuck him, do you?
We love Willie Wong.
You want to give it to Willie.
Want to give it to Willie.
With a top of peanut butter. Mango chutney. Go around the room. Back to you. If you're not comfortable using the vernacular F. Mary call, you can give 3 points to your most favorite, 2 to your second, 1 to your third. What will you
and
say?
What are you having move on? The lowest point?
No, the highest.
The highest.
Oh. You said the opposite before.
Well, but the highest is, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of person. Or man, in this case. Although, the enthusiast could be anybody.
Okay. So I'm giving 3 points to Robert Parker. 3 points to Robert Parker, two to the enthusiast, and one to Wilfred.
Oh. You did that on purpose.
Forsaken. Yes,
now for me, 3 to Wilfred. Definitely. I will go 2 to Robert and 1 to the enthusiast.
Okay.
Scott.
That's a lot of control.
Mm.
And I'm going to go for integrity versus humor. Mm-hmm. If I would go humor, I'd go for the peanut butter man, the mango chutney man. The lover of Red Snapper. But no, Robert Parker.
Is 3.
Is 3. Mm-hmm. Willie gets 2. And the enthusiast, whoever they are on this particular review, they're chodes.
Yes. Well, in that round, folks, Robert Parker will win with 8 points. Yep. Wilfred Wong gets 6.
That's bullshit.
And Wine Enthusiast gets 4 points. Maybe a little bit too high. Becky cheating Wilfred out of his victory. In the next grouping. Oh.
So Robert Parker moves on?
He does.
He got out of the group stage.
But on to the next one. That first one might have been a little bit powerhouse-ish.
It was one. Powerhouse?
Yeah, because the next one, this is some strubs. Okay. I wasn't really paying attention when I wrote this down. The 3 are Jeb Dunnick. Mm.
Scrub?
No. The Decanter.
Okay.
And the Connoisseur's Guide. I will pay folding money for anybody that remembers a review from the Connoisseur's Guide. I can only think of one wine that
didn't leave Tim Adkins in. Or the Pinot File.
Oh, Tasting Panel. I left them out. Oh, we're adding a fourth.
That's who I was thinking. When you said the Connoisseur Guide, that I was thinking the Tasting Panel.
All right. Pinot.
That's the Tasting Panel is also in this one?
No. They've been added into a fourth bracket.
Uh-oh. Jeez.
So it's Jeb, the Decanter, and the Connoisseur, the Sewer's Guide.
Okay. I'm ready.
Go ahead.
I am giving 3 to Jeb Dunnick, 2 to the Decanter, 1 to the Connoisseur Guide.
Okay. Scott.
Jeb. And the Connoisseur Guide is last.
So you're giving 3. Okay.
That is the consensus with me as well. So.
It was
a dominating win by the Dunnick. Of course, he has great hair.
He has great hair. Well, he's an attractive man.
It's just a natural thing that he would win.
Well,
there's some unnatural things about him, but we're not going to talk about that. So on to the next round, folks. We have, this is a bunch. And this is James Suckley, and I will announce these people. First of all, the assholes at Venice. My former employer who fired me and the Wine Spectator. Fuck you. And myself, James Suckling, the original OG, who was out of work for some time, but that's all right. I realize that the Ronin is in the top 100 of 14 wines in Japan for 2014. Quite lovely. The Ronin.
I'm ready to...
You know, I've met Ronin. I don't want to talk about it.
What are the 3 again?
What?
James...
Venice.
And the Spectator. It's hard for you, yes.
I'm giving 1 to James Suckling.
Fuck you. that's just bullshit.
2 to Venice, 3 to Wine Spectator.
What the hell? You, that is ridiculous. I mean, maybe
I got paid by the Wine Spectator. They took out an ad.
What's your excuse for Venice? Because they don't have any money.
They're just a byproduct. They're like a throwaway.
You just don't want me to win.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're going to lose because I'm going to announce the rest of the competition.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Scott.
It's tough because
it's not
equally the speculator and James Suckling overscore so much. But I'm going to go with the wine spectator.
James Suckling, though, his reviews are like poetry. No. And then he's like,
I'm going to go with Venice.
500
points. What?
Venice.
Number.
You're giving Venice 3 points?
I'm giving Venice 3 points.
Okay.
I'm going for the upset.
Okay.
Wine spectator and James Suckling.
Oh.
So Wine Spectator with two? Or James, what?
Wine Spectator with two. James Suckling. Pulling up the rear.
Ew. Go ahead.
It's not unusual. Anyway.
To be loved by anyone.
I did 3-2-1. That would be Wine Spectator 3, James Suckling 2, and Venice 1. So.
I lost. I don't care. Because
I can't believe you didn't give your boy James top mark.
It was a stupid game anyway. Fuck you. All of you. Terrible.
So the Wine Spectator moves on.
And so do I. This is James Suckling, since Becky tried to tarnish my dreams.
It.
It's the one thing I would have ever won. I didn't win anything as a child.
You didn't give him any points either.
Yes. But what was the point?
Okay.
A losing horse? I wanted a horse when I was a child, and my mother lied to me. She gave me plastic horses. This is actually Rob the Wine Guy. That happened to Rob the Wine Guy by his mother.
That's
accurate. So, he just had a breakthrough. Anyway, the next three.
And this is Welford. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about peanut butter. I'll leave you.
The tasting panel.
The Pinot farm. This is the Pinot farm. I am on number. I'm not a real reviewer, but they're like, you're going to be on
okay,
there.
Next.
What?
No more voices.
It's a Scooby Doo character, and my son needs a melted face. And
hello,
those damn kids.
This is Tim Atkins. Mm. I am here. Did you know I am a professional speaker? And I'm a life coach. And I don't wear shirts that are buttoned up all the way. I want everyone to see my chest. Hi.
So, what's everybody's thoughts on these fucking guys?
I'm missing one.
Tasting panel. Penophile.
Oh, penophile.
The pedophile. Penophile. Penis file. What?
Anyway, and Tim. Yes. Tim Atkins. Hello.
James would be very happy.
Hi, James. Hello. I wish Tim did more reviews that were published. That way I could use this voice more often. I'm Tim Atkins. I laugh just randomly. So, Triple B.
She's verklempt.
I've tried to start speaking twice.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I see you're missing me now. Would you like to hear my voice?
I wish I could give all three of them ones. But instead,
you love the penophile.
I don't like the voice Rob does.
I'm not doing it now.
But it's
you're not downgrading the voice. You're downgrading
the reviewer.
It's Rusty.
Very difficult for me to.
And his favorite instrument, the trombone.
Wah, wah, wah.
I don't think that's the sound it makes.
I don't know what it sounds like.
Tim,
go ahead. What would you like to do? I don't have a voice for the tasting panel, other than the fact
that we don't know what they sound like because we don't know who they are.
You gave a tasting panel
three?
Three?
Yeah.
Okay, would you give a 2-2?
Pinot.
A 2-2?
1-10.
Well, that's going to be for your unborn.
I love
that's going to be for your unborn daughter. She's going to wear a 2-2.
Okay.
So, Scott, what is yours?
Did you notice he just glossed over that?
He rebounded very well.
Go ahead.
So, Penophile gets a 3.
I get 3, but it's not very spoofy. It goes down my windpipe.
Penophile's son gets 2.5.
Who's that?
We don't know his name.
Oh, it's Rusty. No.
No, he's Rusty.
What is my son's name? I don't know.
I don't think it's posted.
Why would you want to know?
Well, that's what isn't it, you want to know?
But it's one of his picks. It's like, it's Slapdick's picks, but his name isn't Slapdick. I don't know what his name was, but.
Tim Atkins in the tasting panel.
I got a 2.
You got a 2.
I love a 2.
I love a 2 raid.
Right here. Anyway.
Okay, it's on to me. Well, if we're going to go by volume of scores, unfortunately, the tasting panel has more published than the other two boo-boos.
Yeah, but they're awful.
But if we're going to talk about quality of scores, that would be the Penophile. He gets a 2. And then Tim Atkins, he just is too busy shaving his chest, and he gets a 1.
Yes. I shaved my chest.
Do you think he shaves his chest?
Does that mean we have a tie between the tasting panel and the Penophile?
Is it?
Don't they both have 7?
Yes, they do.
They both go on. They both move. No, they both move.
We got to break a tiebreaker.
Okay. How do you plan to do that?
Well,
this is a made-up game. I don't have a made-up tiebreaker. Tell you what. Rock, paper, scissors. And then the person that wins, and not scissoring, the person that wins,
well, but
Scott did rock, paper, gets to choose who moves on. Ready? Ready? Everybody ready? Becky, you ready?
Who am I?
You're whoever you want to be. You get to pick. Whoever.
But you can't do 3-way rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, yeah. Becky, you and I will do rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. I think that, like, you should be the Penophile and I should be the tasting panel.
Fair enough.
Let's do it. Ready?
But you should be a Penophile. You love the Penophile. He was your guy. Why are you so anti-Penophile? I think you underscored him.
Okay, I'll do the Pino. I don't want the Penophile to win because I don't like Rob's voice when he does it.
Well, I don't like his voice either, but, you know.
You actually like my voice.
No, I like the Penophile's voice.
That's right.
Go ahead. Are you ready? Here we go, folks. This is big science. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, Becky wins.
I win every time.
Tasting
Rob's
panel.
Rob's so bad at it.
You picked the tasting panel to be the.
Rob, have you ever beat me at rock, paper, scissors?
No. So, final round, folks, because it works this way. We have 4. What the fuck? So
shouldn't they head off? Shouldn't it be like semifinals?
Oh, like maybe Robert Parker versus Jeb, Wine Spectator versus Tasting Panel?
Robert Parker versus Jeb.
Well, I think they need to be seated.
Yes, we're going to reseed.
Robert Parker goes versus the tasting panel.
FMK to like an NCAA bracket.
Actually, if we're going to do it by points, which we'd have to do it by points, Jeb Dunnick is the first seed. He has 9 points. Robert Parker is the 2 seed. He has.
As is Wine Spectator.
Yes, but there's naturally.
Do you want me to rock, paper, scissors you for who gets to be the second seed?
Nope. I already did it. So. In the first, we have Jeb Dunnick versus the tasting panel. Mm. And then in the second, we have Wine Spectator versus Robert Parker.
What is Jeb short for? Jebediah?
Jesus.
Is it?
Could
is
be.
Is that his real name, Jebediah Dunnick?
Might be. I don't know. It's just Jeb. He's great hair.
Yeah. He's a handsome man.
Oh, he's very handsome. You know, he was an engineer for NASA.
In a previous life.
Just saying.
He was born in Muncie, Indiana.
He's an angel. So.
So did he like make enough money in.
He worked for Robert Parker for a while. I don't know. I think he just has a dedication to having people read his reviews.
So I did a Google. I used the Googles. To search, is Jeb Dunnick named Jebediah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my first hit was the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene.
That's your natural, that's your homepage.
Apparently, I have some issues.
Yeah.
So,
Jeb versus the tasting panel. Becky, what is your one and two?
I guess I would give one, and the highest points moves on?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, I think it's just up or down.
I would give one to tasting panel, two to Jeb.
I got to move Jeb on too.
And me three. That was pretty, yeah.
Yeah, tasting panel should, you know.
We had a quorum. I think it's bullshit that I got stuck with Robert Parker and then fucking, damn it, tasting panel and Tim Atkins and the penal. We don't even include his scores. He's a blogger. It's bullshit.
Jesus.
I'm just pissed off. Commentary. I was cheated.
Your peanut butter will arrive in your Amazon delivery tomorrow, Wilford. It's okay.
Fuck you.
Anyway, so the other bracket, Wine Spectator versus Robert Parker.
It's actually a difficult matchup. I know how I'm going.
It depends on whether or not the Wine Spectator has diverted some of their cash to any of the people here in the panel.
You know, I like my baby bow ribbon for a baby girl.
You're a stupid fuck. I'm wearing my wrist. Anyway, Triple B.
I give 1 point to Wine Spectator, two to Robert Parker.
Very good.
And I agree, Robert Parker advances.
As do I. That was pretty easy. I don't know why we went through all that. So now, Jeb versus Robert.
It's really...
The man with the hair, the man with no hair.
Mm-hmm.
The attractive man, the... Kind of looks like Fred Flintstone in some degree. Got a big head.
Well, I'll go first. I'm going to give it to Jeb because Robert's retired. He doesn't even count anymore.
I was wondering.
He has staffers.
It's okay. I'm still going with the great, although albeit venerable, Robert Parker because he trained his folks at the Advocate so well that he lives on in their reviews.
He's not dead.
You made it out like he is.
No, he's just retired.
I would also give my highest score to Robert Parker.
Boo. Yes.
Because he doesn't do ads.
Well, that was his Jeb.
False.
It's true.
He doesn't have a voice.
That's true.
Well, see, there was an era where you missed some voices.
I would not say I missed them.
You're just jealous because you can't do voices. That's all.
Okay.
It's a fact. So Robert Parker...
But I'm not finished. Oh. The other reason why I would give him all of my points is because... He was one of the first wine reviewers I knew about, and I remember you telling me that they're like basically an encyclopedia of wine reviews. And I think that you have been bought and paid for not choosing him in the end.
I was just trying to create some suspense.
Well, I think it should be unanimous. It would
have been more impressive if you'd have been James Suckling pining for Jeb Tunnock.
I'm not into
Jebediah.
Him. I prefer men with shaved chests. That's right, he does. It's Tim Atkins. So, folks, this is Tim Atkins. We're going to go. I will let you go. This is Tim Atkins. We will be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So
the battle royale of wine reviewers is over.
That's correct. Anyway, the 2006.
James.
What?
James, do you think it's over?
It is over because the Triple B does not want to hear me anymore.
That's never stopped you before.
She's uptight.
I would just go upstairs and go to bed.
You fall asleep in that chair to my melodic voice.
If this chair rewind, I could for sure sleep in it.
It would haunt you in your dreams. We'd put the headphones on you and you would just hear my voice. And then you would never be able to get my voice out of your mind.
She can't. I think she can't already. That's the problem. Yeah.
I would become your obsession.
Okay.
Bam.
I wish someone was obsessed.
Bam, bam, bam. Bam, 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 bam. Dun, 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 dun. I'm your obsession.
Okay. I didn't know what that was. That's an obscure...
Know that song, Obsession?
Well, I don't think it sounds like that.
Yeah, it does.
No. That sounds like a robot farting for 45 seconds. And you could have just like cut it down to like one stanza, but that's okay. So, The Ronin by Clean A, by the Triple B. What is your review to the tribute wine? Tributing, you know. You didn't have to put, it didn't just, nobody wants to hear. Just turn that off, please. Anyway, Triple B, what is your numerical score?
So, as of late, we've drank a lot of wine that's not been my cup of tea. And so I struggle between two different scores just because I don't know how much of my bias is showing, but I like honestly just don't care. I'm giving it an 86. It has some really classic European style to it, which is really the best thing about it, that you can tell it's European, and that's a nice compliment to give it, I feel like.
So. I think so, yeah.
Okay, we understand. You can turn that off now, please.
Yeah, we have to hear him say Obsession.
No, you don't. No. I'll be dead by the time they get to it. We'll already have given birth.
And emotion.
And the child will be 19.
One Obsession.
Oh, there you go. Then you press.
Cannot speak.
No. You probably listen
that's
to that
shit. That's a
great
song.
That's really...
It might date me.
We need to work on what great means, because that's
William
not
and Henry
great.
William Henry did ask me how old you were today.
Yeah, and old enough.
And
pervy.
Henry was like, Dad said he's 90.
Yes, he might be.
And William was like, but really? And I was like, I honestly...
Yeah, William's on to you, by the way.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's not fooled by your shenanigans, other when it comes to the Hulk.
He needs to work on
dog.
Push-ups. So... Scott, what's your
score? I'm going to finish my review.
I thought you were. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So I'm giving it an 86. The things that I like about this wine are that you can tell it's European. And I mean this in the best possible way, like how linear this wine is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a compliment, not as a... That doesn't mean that... it is simplistic, but I don't mean that in that way.
But I say that as a compliment all the time.
So, no, but, yeah. You know, sometimes... Something being linear is okay. Mm-hmm. And I agree, it is very linear. There's two things that stand out about this wine, and those are the shining components. And, you know, they could have done something to jazz this up, to bastardize this. I wouldn't have wanted that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, this is not my favorite. I've struggled with wanting this thing to be more, but when I accepted it for what it is... It's really straightforward, another word for being linear, but it's a nice finish. The tannins are great. There's not much else to this wine, but that's okay. That's all that it is.
It's cheap, too. I mean, it's also $14.99.
They're thrown. I mean, you can get... cheap French things. This is a mass-produced thing. It's not my favorite, but it's... If there's a purpose to this wine.
True.
So you drink red wine. You want to transition into and try to understand what French wine is. This will teach you that in a way. It's like a booster chair to start you to drinking French wine. It's.
Are you talking about Steve?
I didn't say booster seed. Oh, okay. Booster chair. Anyway, it's definitely not my favorite Merlot. It's definitely not my favorite French style Merlot, but it's approachable. It's easy. It's 85 to 87 is the range, but I'm only going to go 85. But to a degree, I'm going to recommend it. I've struggled with this, and I have to treat that vegetal thing as a flaw. I knew I was going to get that.
So you're giving it an 85?
Yep.
It's pretty fucking low.
I intended to be the Russian judge on this.
No.
I
struggled with this. I wanted to like it more than I do.
Huh?
But I got to be honest with myself.
Maybe if you weren't wearing that scarf.
It's 85. No. This is a great scarf.
No, okay. It's May, and you're wearing a scarf. But still.
It's a soccer scarf,
it's
folks.
It's decorative.
Yes,
Scott is
decorative.
I'm always decorative.
Yes, on to me. This wine is lovely. Ish. Mm. It's one of these things where it's $14.99. It's good. There are better alternatives. Yeah, there's ish. But I mean, we say it's mass produced, but I've never seen it before until I saw it on wine.com. It's not in any of the stores. If I saw it in the stores, I would definitely gravitate to it because I like it. But it's not. I don't know where it is. Where is it? Is it in Japan?
It was in 2014.
I know, but it's in wine.com. But where else is it? I don't know. But
I wonder if this is a wine that is marketed to New York, Chicago, San Francisco, big U.S. markets.
I like it. I mean, I would drink it. If I was at the refectory, I would drink it and enjoy it.
No way.
Rob.
It was cheap.
That's dumb.
Don't say stupid things.
Yeah,
like
that's dumb.
That.
It's true.
Stupid's harsh, but she's probably right.
Called my opinion. It's not exceptional. I give it an 87, partly because it's an 85 to 87. I give it top of the range. You can laugh all you want.
It's interesting.
But it's
in the winner's bracket.
It's not a point above 87. It's not an 88. It's not an 89. Sure as hell isn't a 90. It's on one of those fringes where you say, is it recommended as a value?
No.
It's not a value-priced Hall of Fame.
I think I nailed it. It's if you want to learn
you
something
did not
about it,
nail it at an 85. That's
what
too
a French
low.
Is. No, it's not my
I
score.
Think
it's,
I
it's,
nailed it at 86.
Well, you nailed it closer than an 85.
But
yes.
In terms of us recommending it or not, it there's a purpose to this. It can introduce you to what French wines are about. But other than that, I can't think of a reason that we would recommend this to our listeners because there's better things to drink.
Mm. It doesn't have the nose.
Yes. But it
you're
has
the one that scored it at 87.
But
I know.
It has the right body, and it's got doesn't have it's not this fruit.
I didn't
thing.
Score an 87. I gave an 86.
You did not.
You didn't.
I just scribbled out the 87, put 86.
The past two weeks we've insulted your scores and you've changed. I don't know who
87.
You are.
No, the nose is not there, and I give it an 86 in that regard.
Oh my gosh,
I like
can't
it.
Can't believe how
now
you
affected
you
the scores of integrity because you have no integrity.
I'm sorry, I just give it an 86. I like it though, but it comes down to that. I know that there are more. I'd rather try something that I've never had in this price range. Then drink this again. How's that sound?
I'll be honest.
I would rather explore.
Fair. Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't think this would be as good as it is.
Well, I didn't think it'd be bad.
I kind of did.
I thought it would be
French.
Like a point or two higher than it is.
Probably. It's French, though. How bad is it going to be? No, I think that they've been as, Gucci as you can humanly possibly be in their marketing, and they need to stop doing that.
Is this the one where the label's got, like, it's not flat on there. It's got a little, they, like, jacked the label on the corner.
It kind of peels a little bit, if that's what you mean. Yeah.
So let's do. I thought that Scott would give it an 87.
Well, scores of integrity.
And Rob would give it an 88. So I was off by 4.
I had the score exactly right, except somebody who doesn't have integrity changed their score.
That's
what I had. Rob is 87. Becky is 86. So I'm the winner because I got it exactly right.
Unfortunately, you're not because I had you at an 85 and Becky had us an 86.
No
See, that's
way.
Absolute cheating. Oh, my
How
Lord.
How did you have that?
Yeah, I didn't. I did have you at an 86, but I had you at an 88.
Oh,
was going to say.
Because you lied. You saw what I wrote, and that's why you gave an 85.
No, I did not.
No, you did. Scott still wins, yes. But
It's been a while. I've been out on the loser side of the bracket for a while on the scores of integrity.
Well, fuck. Let me just point this out, though, as a question. Just questioning your integrity and all what. How the hell did you know you won before you knew what I said?
No, I knew when you said 87 and 86. You know, I knew I won.
But you didn't know that I didn't guess you.
Listen, we've been doing this a long time.
Oh, you're trying to cheat by putting bullshit scores out so you win the scores of integrity.
No, I honestly almost scored at 84.
Oh, my God. An 84?
Well, I didn't. And I said range of 85 to 87.
Is he trying to throw out our scores? He's just cheating.
No, the thing that led me to 85 was that just a little bit of vegetation. Just habitual
drunkenness.
Becky and I, neither of us
sniffing
got
glue.
Baker's chocolate.
Crack use.
That you got through your
jackass.
I give meningitis. That's your issue.
Hey, man, it'd be a good reason if I give it to you. You have a compromised immune system, hopefully.
I'm already vaccinated for meningitis.
Dickwad.
Well,
yeah. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Lessons Taxi Driver, who's a dick. And the Triple B. We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.
Have you?